You're listening to the Women as in Art podcast, and I am your host, Leah Schrager.
Hi, welcome to Women as in Art. I'm your host, Emerald Gruen, and we're actually here today with the main host of the show, Leah Schrager, and this is the first time that we're co-hosting. And we're interviewing Alexandra Goldman. So Alexandra Goldman is a writer, curator, and art dealer living in New York. She is the founder of the art publishing platform Artifactoid and managing director of Borough, New York, a contemporary art gallery with locations in New York and Buenos Aires. Goldman writes for Artifactoid, White Hot Magazine, Cult Bites, Arte Fusée, Vice Versa, and Revista Jennifer. She received her MA in art history from Hunter College and received her bachelor degree from NYU in media, culture, and communications. So, welcome.
Hi, Emerald and Leah. Thank you so much for inviting me to join you on the podcast today. It's a wonderful podcast. I've been listening to a few episodes, so I'm very happy to be here with you too.
Oh, yeah, it's really fun. We're having a good time here at Women as in Art.
I can see that.
And you're in the Hamptons right now. So tell us why you're in the Hamptons and what you're doing there.
Yes, I am enjoying the beautiful sunshine out east. We opened up a Hamptons pop-up with Barro Gallery this weekend called Unconscious Waves, and it's in East Hampton and will be up through July. So any listeners to the podcast are invited. It's a summer group show.
And where is it exactly?
It's in the Springs.
Oh, beautiful.
Yes.
So what would you say your place in the art world is?
I would say I am an art advising Latin American art specialist. Working in the art world, we wear many different hats. I have, for example, strayed from working in Latin American art with my previous role when I was the head of a membership community at the Fotográfica Museum. But what I really believe in is that art is all about the relationships that you build over time with different people in the art world, artists, collectors. And so if I'm at a museum building community, I can also create a group of people who are interested in many types of art and can invite people to the gallery, have events at the gallery and invite people. So I would say it's really about community building for me through any role that I'm in, as well as understanding the art market.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Because when you were managing Olson Gruen, you were incredible at connecting all walks of life through the gallery. And we would put on extraordinary events together. And you would tie in your Latin American background with the gallery that was Australian and New York based. So that's
spot. Yes. And actually in all of these roles, I love following really interesting market facts related to female artists. Like when we worked together at Olson Gruen and we showed paintings by Emily Cam Kingore, the Australian Aboriginal painter who broke an auction record for Aboriginal painting, was one of the first incredible female pioneering artists to bring Australian Aboriginal art to the mainstream market. And then just recently at Sotheby's in May, Leonora Carrington, one of my favorite surrealist painters, a Latin American female artist, broke a record at Sotheby's selling at $28.5 million in May. So it's really exciting following female artists, following the market and about relationships. I mean, that's why we're here today, because of our relationship and how I reconnected with Leah when she was at a show at Fotográfica recently. So I cherish my relationships with both of you. And I think that's a great example.
Yeah. And you introduced me to Kirk, who was on the podcast a few sessions ago.
Wonderful.
Connected through us all. Yeah, no, there's so many parallels. And you're such a brilliant writer as well. Not only do you curate beautiful exhibitions, but you're also so well-versed with the pen.
Thank you.
It's so good. It's always so great to have you there for the press releases and then connecting us with journalists and bringing together all forms of publicity, which we worked on together, which was really a strength.
It was really special.
Yeah. Yeah. So what do you consider the biggest challenges and opportunities for women in right now in art?
So in my career, I've experienced a majority of the collectors that typically come in and buy at galleries are often men. I think that's a big challenge. And I love seeing when women collect art by other women. I think that's a very empowering thing. I'm happy to say, though, that a lot of the most influential and change-making collectors in the Latin American art world specifically are women. Like, for example, Patricia Phelps de Cisneros came to Barro Gallery recently. She's the chair of the Latin American department at MoMA. Estrellita Brodsky has one of the most famous collections of Latin American art in the world. I mean, these are the tastemakers in my current niche and my field of study. And it's really amazing to see these powerful female art collector examples. And they both have collections that can be viewed, like works from the Patricia Phelps de Cisneros collection can be viewed at MoMA. And Estrellita Brodsky opens up her collection in Chelsea to be viewed by appointment, called Another Space. And Estrellita, I got to meet her at her last opening at Another Space and just see how much she cares about the artists that are in her collection and the connections between those artists as well. Like, she recently acquired a work by an artist that I loved and have been working with at Barro Gallery named Monica Giron, a very accomplished female artist. And Estrellita put her in an exhibition in dialogue with another really important artist, Feliciano Centurion, who they kind of came up working together. So I can just tell how thoughtful both of these amazing women are at developing their collections. And I think female collectors and collecting, and as I build my own collection bit by bit, it's inspiring. That's inspiring for me to see.
Do you find
that female collectors are more likely to collect female artists than male collectors, or is it pretty equal, would you say?
Perhaps, because I think there's something that we all relate to on a personal level when we're buying a work of art. I don't think it's exclusive at all in any way. I like personally the idea of when women collectors can buy works by female artists. It, to me, that's a very empowering dynamic all around. So it's just, that's something that interests me.
Mm-hmm. And how often do you get to Argentina to, say, do studio visits or collect art? Or,
well, for me, a lot of my travel for the art world has been to many different places in Latin America. I've worked at fairs in Bogota, in Lima. I've visited at Arteba in Buenos Aires and Sonamaco and Material in Mexico City a lot. We also, Barro New York does Art Basel Miami, Expo Chicago, and Art Basel in Basel just recently. So I travel as much as I can to all of these different locations, but whenever an opportunity arises for me to support.
Beautiful. Do you ever travel to Cuba?
I haven't yet, but I would be interested in traveling to Cuba.
One of my favorite Cuban artists is Ana Mendieta.
She is just, her works are so emotionally profound.
Did you listen to the Death of the Artist podcast?
Oh, I don't think I have listened to that one.
Really worthwhile digging deep into that and hearing the whole story.
Oh my gosh. Okay. I'll follow your suggestion. Thank you.
Yeah. So how has the place of women in and or as art changed over time and across different media?
I really think this one is just about more plurality of the types of roles and ways women can be involved. I just think women can be involved on all sides of the media, not just the subject, but can also be the creators, the directors, the ones financing, the ones driving any project. So I think that's great.
And is Barrow specifically run by like a female team, male, like is it man or woman? What is the
It's a combination. And we work with female artists, male artists, non-binary and queer artists, every type of artist. We just specialize in art principally from Argentina.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Wonderful. And what's your take on the relationship between feminism and art?
Well, I love so many feminist artists. I especially like talking about the artist Maria Evelia Marmolejo. She's a Colombian artist. Mm-hmm. I've written two articles about Maria Evelia over the years, and I've interviewed her in a similar scenario to how we're having a dialogue now. And what I love about her work is I especially love when feminist artists work with both feminist activism and environmental activism. She works with both. And for example, another artist I love that's both a feminist and works with environmental activism is Agnes Dennis, who's a founding member of the AIR Gallery in the 70s, an influential feminist gallery in New York. And she's a major environmental activist. And since to me, the environment is such a huge concern right now, I love when strong female artists take on both sort of a feminist take and an environmental take. I think it's called Mother Earth for a reason. And women have a lot of wonderful power and healing power when it comes to addressing environmental issues, a sensitivity. I think we have a very good sensitivity for that.
Yeah, definitely. So this is a, can a woman just be art?
Well,
provocative question.
So I love living in New York. It's a very performative place. And one thing I love about the city is that I truly believe any person can be art. And with the LGBTQ community, it's open to everyone, men, women, non-binary people, anyone with any form of expression and outward artistic expression, I think can present themselves as art and can be quite compelling, especially in a place like New York. So I am a believer that a person can be art of any kind. I don't necessarily view it as a gender-based question.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. Yeah. Is there power in being a muse?
I think that relates to the similar question of can people be art? I think someone being a muse is similar to them being art. It's someone who's captured the attention of an artist for their creative expression or their look, their energy, their aura. That is powerful if you've captured the artist to become the muse. And there can also be, there can be female artists with male muses. I especially like Sally Mann's black and white photos of her husband, who was a muse of hers. Collectors can be muses. So mm-hmm. for collectors can have muses. One of my favorite collectors was Peggy Guggenheim, who notoriously slept with many of the male artists whose works she acquired. And there was probably some inspiration or connection there. And I currently am so lucky to work with the artist La Chola Poblete. I don't know if you've heard of La Chola Poblete, but La Chola Poblete is a trans female artist with a performance-based practice who we represent at Barro. And she makes performances and photographs, photo documents them. And I view La Chola Poblete as an example of an artist who's her own muse, which I think is interesting because if you perform yourself and document it, it's like an act where you're both the creator and the muse. So I think that's another cool dynamic to explore. Mm-hmm. And La Chola actually just won the honorable mention at Venice Biennial, and we just took her to Art Basel, and the booth sold out. She was the Deutsche Bank 2023 Artist of the Year. So I definitely recommend looking into La Chola Poblete.
Mm. Yeah, she's incredible. Yeah, and really incredible. And the artist that you're, the abstract painter that you introduced me to recently was incredible, but that was a male artist, correct? The one that we were looking at. Joaquin Bos?
Oh, Joaquin Bos. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. I absolutely love the artwork by Joaquin Bos. He's mm-hmm. another artist represented by Barro that we just had his first New York solo show, did very well. And we're excited he's going to be also showing in Europe next year with Periton. So he's another very, very talented abstract artist with a unique technique. It's called abstraction based on contingency, which is to say it's neither gestural nor geometric. It's his own method, which I find very interesting. So I think we can give male artists some credit too.
Yes, absolutely. What about Lolo and Lauti?
Oh yes. Lolo and Lauti also have an interesting practice based on video art.
They're a duo.
Installation. Yeah. We haven't had a show with them yet in New York, but I will keep you apprised once we get dates in.
Yeah, no, incredible performance pieces I'm seeing here. Maybe you can also, we'll share to the audience some of these artists. So you can.
Yes. Well, I'm currently also working with a phenomenal female painter, Alejandra Sieber, whose solo show just opened at America's Society in New York called Interiors with Landscapes. So I definitely recommend checking that out. She does beautiful paintings of interior scenes. She paints paints knitting, which is very a unique, beautiful form of abstraction that also deals with the idea of textiles. And she also created these sculptures called Grammatical Mini Golf that are tiny. It's a mini golf course where each hole is a different sculpture. And you can actually play the 9-hole mini golf course throughout the exhibition. The sculptures are on the ground. There are real golf balls and putts, and you can play the artist's journey of mini golf that's also filled with some of her ceramic sculptures. So it just got written up today in Hyperallergic as one of the top shows to see right now. So we're really excited about that. And I recommend seeing Alejandra Sieber's show if you haven't yet.
Beautiful. That sounds
I am also, I'm curious to hear, so I'm just looking through your artist list, Amolya Ullman, who was made quite a splash back in some, what year was that, with her excellences and perfections. I'm curious what she's working on now and what you find interesting about her work.
Oh, she's very well known, and we have some of her photography right now at the gallery. I think she has a great, brilliant conceptual mind and bold sense of humor, and is an important feminist artist.
Yeah, beautiful. And so will you be traveling back and forth to the Hamptons, or just for the opening and then?
Yeah, we'll see. This weekend I was here for the opening, which was so great. It's at the private gallery home of the artist Warren Nydick. He's actually created a gallery at his house and is one of the artists in the show. So it made me think of you, actually, because it's a really inspiring trend. And I know you have something brewing out in LA. I don't know how much you're talking about it yet.
Yeah, that's right. That's why I'm working on the podcast with Leah, just having the connection with the art world while we have the plans to have something pretty magical here in Laurel Canyon. So,
yeah, I think there's a great arts community out here in the Hamptons. I was just at the Parish Museum today. I think there's just such a strong history of artists being out in the Hamptons and art history taking place in the Hamptons. And a lot of both artists and collectors are out here for the summer. So we thought it makes a lot of sense for the gallery to have a presence out here.
Oh, beautiful. I miss it. Miss being out there at East for summer.
You're invited anytime.
Oh, good. I would love that. I'd love to catch up with you, Alex. So good to have you today on the podcast.
Yes.
Any more questions from Leah?
I guess, is there anything else you'd like to add, Alex? Like anything it's made you think of?
Yeah. I wanted to talk about some of my favorite female artists right now, just in my personal collection, if that's okay. And
oh yeah, no, of course. I was just about to get to that.
Oh yeah. So I recently bought a beautiful work by the artist Catalina Schliebner Munoz, who is a queer non-binary artist. And I wanted to include them in this discussion just because their work, I think, is very fresh. They have a solo show at the Queen's Museum that's up right now, a solo show at the Queen's Museum.
Wow.
And if you haven't been to the Queen's Museum, I suggest it. It's a very beautiful museum. It just is outside of, you know, the route, the normal day-to-day route, but I truly believe it's worth making the trip to see Catalina's work on view. They work with ideas of memory, sexuality, the media, adolescence and childhood, in a technique that I think is really interesting. They work with a lot of mixed media. So I really love Catalina Schliebner Munoz. And
have you met them, Catalina?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I was so thrilled. I went to their studio in the Queen's Museum, and they have a fellowship there. So I think the fellowship results in the show, and it's very impressive.
Did you collect a sculpture or painting? Or
it's a mixed media work, so it's vinyl, colored pencil,
so cool,
and embroidery on matte board, and there's also some glitter in there. So I love glitter. I don't care what anybody says, I will always love glitter. And then another artist in my collection, a female artist I love, who's a dear friend of mine also, is Chelis Baird. She does really interesting sculptural abstract work with paint and textiles. And there's a lot of, it's all about energy and tension and feeling, which I really love. Gorgeous work. And it's going, she's going to be in a show later this summer at the Nassau County Art Museum.
How and did you tell us?
We met at Art Basel in 2019 and just became best friends ever since. We say we're each other's friend soulmates.
Oh, beautiful. And where's she based?
She's in Manhattan as well.
Oh, good. Oh, and that's sculpture or painting or combination?
Both.
Yeah, interesting.
Yes. So I just completely revere her work, her dedication to her studio practice. She's also a mom and has a very sweet son. I know you two are mothers, which is an incredible thing. So I love artists who are moms.
Oh yeah, it's a balancing act. That's for
yes.
Sure. Yeah.
And then yeah,
that's actually one of the so if and when you decide to have children, how do you think you'll balance your career with mothering? And
I think that's something that no one can ever know until they're in it.
Yeah, that's true. So true.
What is that?
Yeah. But and finally, one of my other dear friends who's an incredibly talented sculptor, Lio Bright. She sculpts with glass and makes both portraits and abstract work. And I am a huge fan of her work. I don't have one in my collection yet, but want one. And she's having a solo show at the Aldrich Museum in Ridgefield, Connecticut right now. And it's very impressive. It was curated by Amy Smith Stewart, a great female powerhouse in the art world as well. And I just am so in awe of Lio's work and also many hours in the studio and how it's all come together. So if anyone has a chance to go to the Aldrich this summer, I'd highly recommend seeing Lio's exhibition.
Oh wow. Well, you'll have to send us your favorite images from these artists that you've discussed so we can do a special dedicated post on the collection of artists that you've been talking about today. And it's so interesting to have an eye opener into this new Latin American and also diverse subject of artists and that you're dealing with. It's so good.
Thank you so much, Emerald. And thank you, Leah. This is an incredible podcast for getting women's voices out there. And I'm just in complete admiration of you both and so lucky for our friendship.
Yeah, I feel the same way, Alec. And I hope you have a safe trip back to New York.
Thank you. Yeah, I think we'll try to beat the traffic.
Yeah, I'm sure you will now.
Yeah. I hope to see you both soon.
We will. We'll make an effort to get out there soon, catch up. Oh, lots of love. All right.
Sending love too.
Bye. Thank you so much.
This has been the Women as an Art podcast, hosted by me, Leah Schrager. Please visit womenasanart.com for more information and to find us on socials. Thanks.